This is Brian Ernst.
And I'm Mitch Brinkman, the other half of Bubkiss, and we're from UBK.
Tune in every Monday for a fresh dose of Bubkiss.
That's spelled B-U-B-K-E-S.
After your caffeine buzz wears down, head over to ubkstudios.com to listen to the show where the topics don't matter.
But the words, oh, they're true.
Again, I'm Brian.
And I'm Mitch, and you're listening to Caffeinated Comics.
It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimera's Comics. Located in LaGrange, Illinois, Chimera's is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimera's Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, Jeff Sussman of the Bat Signal. Once again, we are here. It is Caffeinated Comics. I am your host, John Clark, and with me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And again in the studio, we have David Redfield.
Back by popular request.
Yes.
And this is the first podcast where we are actually drinking Starbucks.
Yeah,
we're a few in. We've never actually brought it from Starbucks. I think on one of our shows, we had Starbucks out of the Keurig. And I'm not counting that. I'm counting legitimate
Starbucks storefront coffee.
We're going to talk about some of the worst comics we've ever read.
There's a lot of material to cover.
There's a lot of really bad stuff.
Comics are really bad sometimes.
Well, they have to come out every month. I think that's what it comes down to.
I was going
to
say, they can't be good all the time.
Not all the time. It's like, well,
why do you think a lot of people hate Superior Spider-Man?
Now it's NPR.
Here's the thing. People hate Superior Spider-Man because it's different.
Yeah.
And I think they want... You know, whatever their idea of Spider-Man is, they want that every month, and they want that not to change. And that's not possible.
And the one thing you can really make fans angry with is changing the character himself. And it's been done to almost everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, we had four Supermans in the 90s.
Yeah, you had an electric Superman. You had a red electric Superman and a blue electric
Superman.
And
that was Clark Kent. You go back even further, and you had Steel was a Superman, and Eradicator was a Superman, and Superboy was a Superman.
Yep.
Batman's been Dick Grayson twice. He's been Azrael.
He's been dead.
People really hated Azrael as Batman. And like when you look back on it now, you go, oh, Nightfall's this huge epic that everybody loved.
Right. But during
Night Quest, people were as angry as they are now. And you know, in the 90s, it became a trope for like the hero to retire, give it to somebody else, then come back, and then for the sidekick, the fill-in, to be his own guy. That's how you got Rhodey as War Machine. That's how you get Eric Masterson as Thunderstrike.
That's
how you get the U.S. agent or the Super Patriot, depending on what time it was. Because also in the 90s, everything sold, so it was like, oh, we can have two Thor comics.
Yeah.
Remember foil covers in the 90s?
Yeah, that's what made it sell even better.
Yeah.
Gimmicky.
Oh, I remember getting Spider-Man in 92 and being like, I need the hologram one because that's the one that's going to be worth money.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm so glad I missed the whole 90s boat in comics.
Really?
Yeah, you're the right age for the 90s boat,
too. I was the right age to where I should have all this crap in my basement that's worthless, but I missed it.
How I defend the 90s is that as bad as Marvel was, Marvel was pretty bad. They were selling more comics than they've ever did in history.
And yeah, those comics, everyone was.
Those comics were really bad.
Yeah.
But DC were pretty solid. Like, if you go back to Death of Superman and Nightfall, as gimmicky as they are, they hold up pretty well. And you have things like Mark Waid's Flash, which is a classic. You have Ron Mars bringing Kyle Rayner, who everybody still really likes.
Yeah, well, depending on who you ask. But that's the thing, is Kyle Rayner was the Green Lantern when I started reading, was introduced to. And if you ask Carm, or you ask anyone at the shop, I'm like the biggest Marvel guy there is, like, no question. But I was a DC guy when I started reading comics because of Ron Mars' Green Lantern run. It was just a better comic than anything Marvel was putting out.
It's because Kyle was wearing that Nine Inch Nails shirt when he got the ring.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's what did it for me.
I liked his hockey pads and his crab mask.
It was the visor. Yeah, the crab mask.
Well, he basically turned Green Lantern into Spider-Man.
Yep.
And I didn't realize at the time. I was like, oh, DC doesn't have a Spider-Man. Because all their young characters are sidekicks who are already trained, who know what they're doing. They're all Nightwing. They're all the Wally West Flash.
Yeah.
And here was a kid who didn't know what he was doing, was fumbling around. Even Superboy was a clone Superman. And he was like too cocky.
And he had all these extra superpowers. Like, Kyle gets this ring. He's just, like, drunk, gets the ring, and then, like, every fight he got in for like the first 6 months, he was getting the tar beaten out of him. And then like his girlfriend gets stuffed in a fridge and gets killed. And it's like, wow, okay, this guy had a rough.
That's my favorite thing. That's my favorite thing in comics is that like all these women groups formed. Like they're like,
oh, I heard about this.
They were all like, no more women in refrigerators. I was like, it was one.
It was one woman.
It wasn't like gorillas. It wasn't like this issue, another girl in a refrigerator.
Like that woman who went to go live with the gorillas forms like a protest. Like, you know, of like, you know, stop making gorillas villains. We want positive gorillas.
a positive gorilla role model in every book. But also they made it sound like every time J. Jonah Jameson went to get a carton of milk, hey, there's another girl in here.
Yeah.
Miss Brand, get out of my refrigerator.
It's awesome. He has a bad track record, Kyle Rayner. It's like 3 out of the 5 girlfriends he's dated are
I think
they've
stated everyone with the exception of this like well, new Donna, girl he started dating.
Donna Troy's still alive.
Well,
no,
she died.
She died and
came back. I know Jade's dead and his original girlfriend's dead.
And now she doesn't exist.
But now in New 52, I don't know.
They need to put out a timeline. Like Jeff Johns and Dan Dito need to put out a timeline. This is what happened. This Why, is when though? It happened. I mean, because I have no idea what the fuck is going on in comic
books. Here's my timeline. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I created the universe. At 4 o'clock, I killed Nightwing.
5 o'clock, I recommend Nightwing to kill him again. Because I hate him.
6 o'clock, I dressed up a guy to kind of look like Nightwing so I could hit him with a baseball bat. Because I do not like Nightwing.
For the pleasure.
You know that. You know that's the whole story.
Jeff Johns had a talking out from killing
Infinite
Nightwing.
Crisis. I was rereading Infinite Crisis because I had the omnibus. Uh-huh. There is a dead Nightwing panel in it. Yeah. Fill him in as Drew, where he's clearly dead.
This is my fear. My fear is getting to the point where I'm so delusional that I have no idea what's going on at the store. That like Dan Dito clearly is, where he has no clue that Nightwing is like a popular character that with like a dedicated fan
who's selling very well now in the New 52.
And he'll be like, "Let's kill this character." Because I don't like him. See, and people have to talk him out of doing crazy things.
So you're afraid you'll be killing customers that people like?
Yeah, my fear is like I'm going to be making crazy decisions. And people are going to have to like Dave and, you know.
It's already happened.
You're going to sneak up behind Dave.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're going to sneak up behind Dave with a butcher knife one day. And I'm going to have to go, no, we like Dave.
That's the bad thing.
Sorry, I thought we all wanted to kill
Dave. Didn't we all want to kill him? I'll have a weird accent.
And hide him in the basement.
So back to comics. We're talking... John,
we were talking about Dan Didio.
Talking about favorite comic book characters and worst things they've ever done to them. Like Daredevil running around in like crazy armor. That's pretty stupid.
But it was Scott McDaniel drawing it.
And it was the 90s.
Everyone had it. But I'm thinking like, okay, well, where is that?
Captain America's armor?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not a good armor.
The energy shield.
He eventually like shrunk into the armor. Like they just found a dead empty armor. It was right before Mark Waid's run. That was the end of Mark Grenwald's run. Captain America's got some bad.
Yeah. There's very few good Captain America runs.
Mark Waid.
Mark Waid is probably him and Brubaker.
Yeah, Brubaker's good. Brubaker's a little long, but Brubaker's good.
What does that say about the character, though?
Even when Kirby comes back, those
I've got the omnibus for that. They're
crazy.
They're really strange.
He creates Arnim Zola, but they're like, he definitely got crazier after the Fourth World.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think. Like, he came back to Marvel after leaving DC from getting burned by them the same way he got burned at Marvel comes back and then like they gave him like Black Panther and Captain America and it was like both
and
of
Machine
those books.
Man.
Machine Man. Well, and Machine all Man, three of those books were insane. They're all crazy.
Yep, they're all crazy.
They're good. They're gorgeous
looking
books.
Because Kirby was writing himself, so you could see in the 60s, this is what he wanted to do the whole time and Stan wouldn't let him.
Yeah, so I think like there's a lot of, you know, people go back and forth and you know we'll never know, but like you can't say that Stan created all those guys.
No.
And you can't say Jack created all those guys. Like it's so collaborative at this point. It's like it's impossible to say who came up with what.
There are Kirby fans who say that like Stan didn't do anything, and
that's not true though.
Every time I get into one of those arguments, I'm like, explain Spider-Man. Jack drew one page of that. Stan said not right.
Yeah,
just Steve Ditko, and it's also great. I mean, granted, Ditko and Kirby are great, but you look at it's like the Beatles. Like, you can tell exactly what John did and what Paul did by listening to their solo albums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you listen to Plastic Ono Band and you're like, oh, John wrote all the really good lyrics with simple chord changes. And you listen to McCartney, Paul wrote all the pretty melodies. When you put them together, it was amazing. If you look at like Ditko's The Creeper and you look at The Fourth World, you see exactly what Jack and Steve Ditko brought to that table.
Right.
And so you can see what Stan brought to that
table. Exactly. It's like, go read any Just Imagine Stan Lee's DC Universe and it's all garbage. It's like...
Well, he's very old now.
Well, that's true. But, you know, like I said...
There were some concepts in there I liked. I think the Superman one, the fact that he was like a security guard.
He's a security guard.
Wasn't he a security guard who was
from
like
the
trying
moon.
To finding like all a those villain books. And came to Earth and has the S's the scar on his face?
All those books should have been Stan pitching them in a podcast.
You just want everything to be in a comic.
I just want
to
hear.
I just
want
to commit Stanley's voice. Like,
did you see? I think I sent it to you. Stan read the night before Christmas.
What?
I think I sent that to you on Facebook. There is a YouTube video
recently?
Of Stan Lee reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Wow!
And he reads it like it's a Marvel pitch. He's like, "On Dasher, on Dancer,
he's excited.
On Prancer and Vixen."
I imagine that's what he's like. He'll describe his breakfast with the same exaltation he would describe. Like
that's
you know,
why he's a national
the Silver
treasure.
Surfer. He is a national treasure. I'm gonna miss him.
So what's the worst thing Stan ever wrote?
I don't know everything he's written, though. Because he has all these, like, failed projects. Like, recently he's trying to do, like, movies and TVs
and
stuff.
Yeah, a lot of that
stuff
never gets off the
ground. He just can't get it off the ground.
Stripzilla?
Stripperella.
Or Stripperella.
Barbarella.
Stripzilla would be kind of cool.
It's Godzilla's a giant stripper in Tokyo?
I think it's a stripper that gets mad and turns into a giant dragon.
I'd read either one of those
It's basically
books.
Like the She-Hulk. It's like if the She-Hulk was a stripper and 30 feet tall. My favorite book ever is The Fantastic Four, and it has so many really bad runs.
Yeah.
Like, there were a lot. I kind of considered the entire decade of the 70s to be not good for Marvel. That's like when Stan leaves and, like, Roy Thomas takes over and...
Yeah, I'm trying to think what in the 70s.
Len Wein and Marv Wolfman. The Wolfman.
The Wolfman.
I'm Marv the Wolfman. Look out for me, because I'm writing about vampires for no reason.
Yeah, I guess they
I'm
got...
a Wolfman who writes about vampires.
They got really into, like, kung fu comics and, like, horror comics. So it's like the superhero kind of took a back burner and they weren't really doing anything
interesting.
Well, the horror
comics, the Comics Code had just lifted the ban on all horror.
Yeah.
In the Silver Age.
And they were just like...
So they were just
they basically
like...
brought down to kill off, like, EC Comics.
Yeah.
And then, so they lifted it a little bit, and that, all of a sudden, Morbius is in Spider-Man, and the Ghost Rider comes out.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody had, like, a monster. And then Kung Fu was just big. Kung Fu and Blaxploitation.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why you get Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is why I thought it was hilarious in the 80s, because once those fads were over, they just teamed them up.
They don't know what to do with these two guys.
They just slapped them together.
Even until, I don't think they really knew what to do. I mean, you're talking Power Man, Luke Cage or whatever. This is a character that like 20 years later, like finally somebody figures out like, all right, let's make him an Avenger. And now he's got something to do. And it's
like, like a white Jewish boy to do it, too.
Yeah, who has like a big hard on for Luke Cage. Like,
and Daredevil.
And Daredevil, you know, it's like he's.
Spider Woman.
Like, yeah, he's got like.
He's definitely rooted in the 70s. If you go back, it's a lot of 70s. Luke
and
Cage, Spider Woman, Moon Knight.
Iron Fist didn't get big until, like, popular again until what?
Fraction did
well,
that.
Well, Fraction.
Right?
Yeah, Fraction started running it, but then Bendis pulled him over.
Immortal Iron Fist.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. And it's working, but it's just like, now that Bendis is done, I mean, are these guys going to join the X-Men? He's like, oh, Luke Cage, you're really a mutant. Come on and hang out at the school.
Is he a mutant?
Well, Luke Cage
or
no,
he's
got
yes.
like a chemical power or something. I don't know. He had like...
Oh, yeah, it was an experiment.
He was like experimenting on it. Something
well, you
goofy.
Know what?
But that's what I'm saying. It's like Daredevil and all these other guys that like Bendis is so like Jones in for. He can't write these guys in X-Men.
I
so it's like, was he going to bring them over?
Yeah, I feel like if Bendis was like 4 years younger, Cloak and Dagger would be Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're mutants.
Yeah, and they're like early 80s and not 70s.
Yeah, he'll pull them into the X-Men.
Didn't they get their powers from drugs?
But I think the powers activated their mutant genes.
Yeah, I think they've come out and said they're mutants.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Or Power Pack.
They're
Power
using
Pack
those
in the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, which
yeah.
is cool.
Hickman brought that in.
Yeah, because like the 80s Fantastic Four gets really good when Burns on it. And then
it's
Simonson
great.
Has a small run.
Simonson's got a weird run, but it's
I
good.
Haven't read all of it. What I read, I liked. And then Simonson's Thor comes out in the 80s, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's this Fantastic Four is after his Thor. Like he leaves Thor.
Yeah.
He leaves Thor to do Fantastic Four, and I think he was still writing Thor because remember, like Sal Buscema draws
was
a lot
doing,
of
like,
late
villains.
Issues.
What yeah, was his storyline? Simonson did.
Simonson, he brought in the She thing, and I think he had picked some stuff up from Steve Englehart. But he had two really great stories. He had this whole weird time travel story, and there was an issue where Reed Richards and Dr. Doom are fighting with two portable time machines. And they actually time travel through the book.
That's awesome.
So they go from like page 21 to page 5 because they're like the B story.
Yeah,
like
Sue awesome.
Thing like running through the castle and trying to shut down the robots, and Reed and Dr. Doom just keep like popping up, fighting, and like popping out. And then in the back in the letters page, it goes, "This is how to read the Dr. Doom Reed fight."
See, that's
and
really
it was
cool.
Every page, and then he did the new Fantastic Four. which was a joke, which was like, how do we get the Fantastic Four to sell again? And they in the office, they were like, well, you got to put like Ghost Rider and Wolverine and Spider-Man and the Hulk. And he was like, okay. And he gets Art Adams to draw it. Uh-huh. And it's actually a really great story that has like the Mole Man and Moloids and Skrulls and,
yeah,
and you know, giant monsters. And it's all Art Adams artwork. And
why
did
they band up? I have no idea.
I think the Fantastic Four are gone or something.
The Fantastic Four are attacked by Skrulls, but they managed to like shoot off the flare.
Uh-huh.
And those are the four guys that were closest to the Baxter Building.
Oh.
So it was just like...
It was really totally like, random. Here's the four guys that are like the most popular right now, which is like a time when Ghost Rider is more popular than like...
Well, Ghost Rider had just launched.
Iron Man.
So he was a hit. And Hulk is Grey Hulk.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, Peter, it's Mr. David, Fix-It.
Hulk. Yeah.
Yeah, Peter David's run is in the 80s. On Hulk, you get like Future Imperfect and all these other awesome
stories.
It runs
almost through the 90s. He's on it so long. He's on it almost as long as Chris Claremont.
That's an omnibus I'm waiting for.
And those are, well, they're doing the trade paperbacks. They're like Hulk Visionaries. They're up to like volume 8.
There's a lot of volumes
But
to
that's going
to
have to be like...
It's going
to
be two or three omnibuses. It's going to be at least two or three.
I think it's five. Well, because 12 years.
Burns is going to be two.
Right. When is that volume 2?
It hasn't even been solicited yet.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully that doesn't mean volume 1 didn't sell well.
See, it's so much more fun to talk about awesome comics than it is to be like, this comic sucked.
Yeah.
You know what sucks?
I'm not feeling mean enough.
Getting rid of, like, the Avengers, and then you make, like...
The Defenders?
Yeah, like, Defenders, or, like, Hercules, and, like, who is it? Like, Star Fox? That was a bad run on Avengers. When it was, like, Hercules, Star Fox, Photon, and, like...
Jack of Hearts?
No, he wasn't around yet.
Jack of Hearts.
he's a good Avenger. Jeff Johns used Jack of Hearts.
What did he do?
That just blew him up.
He was like
he was supposed to be like really powerful, but he dressed like a card.
Yeah.
Why?
It was like he was like a half alien or some damn thing, and he had like radioactive like powers.
Apparently there were aliens that had decks of cards all over their planet.
And that was like their thing.
Sounds
and
then, like a Hank Pym idea.
Hey, easy now. Scott Hank Pym's Lang a idea. Hero. There you go, Scott Lang, who got killed by Jack of Hearts when he exploded in front of Avengers Mansion.
And wait, then came back.
Yeah, but he's
Children's
in
Crusade.
FF now. He, isn't he the Ant-Man in
He
FF?
Got brought back in a Children's Crusade, which was a sequel to Young Avengers, which was awesome, but Children's Crusade
now,
not
now
so
going
much.
Going back to things I hate. This is my problem with 2000s Marvel, is that all the major things would happen in a limited series that they didn't tell you was very important.
Yes.
And it's like, to follow Marvel, you have to just... Go through
you have
all
to
these
read
limited
everything.
Series and now and then touch on a book. And the only things I really enjoyed in the 2000s were Grant Morrison's X-Men because it was left alone, Joss Whedon's X-Men because it was left alone, and Straczynski's Spider-Man until it mixed with everything and got really bad.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with like that's a good run on Spider-Man. But then
it's
wasn't
a good run when Romita Jr.'s on it.
But when did Straczynski do the thing where like Spider-Man ate that guy's face and got all those extra superpowers that no one remembers?
The other,
that was a bad story. That
sucked. And that was around the time that, I don't think Romita did those issues. Those are Diodato. Yeah. And right after that, Norman Osborn has sex with Gwen Stacy and they have two kids that are.
No, that's
Spider-Man.
When Diodato.
And then one of them
up.
Kisses
that's Diodato too.
Yeah,
that's Diodato. I think Diodato was the artist on that series.
Right, but that's still when Straczynski.
Yeah.
So still I think Straczynski's run is great while Romita Jr. is drawing it. And I think it's just coincidental because every interview I've read with Romita Jr. is he'll draw the script he's given. Like, he's not going to be a guy that's like, I'm not going to draw that story. And he was saving all his bad stories.
Yeah, he's one of the guys who, when they found an image, they wanted him to go with. And he said no. And he stayed
had
with
the
Marvel.
To Marvel.
He could have made, he could have been a millionaire like Liefeld and all those other idiots.
And Natron Feed and stuff.
Right. And he stayed loyal to Marvel. And
but look at, and
he's a company man.
Yeah. And, you know, who knows, you know, you can't say whether that was better or worse for him because like most of the image guys have kind of. Come and gone, but you have Jim Lee, who's now running DC.
Yeah, I think he's kind of like he's the luckiest little leech out of all of them.
Jim Lee? I think Jim Lee's more powerful than like that.
Hush I really liked, but then he did Superman story, that For Tomorrow with Brian Azzarello.
I blame Azzarello on that.
The art on that book was god-awful.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I thought
the story
was pretty bad. Jim Lee.
He never quite reached Hush again because he had something to prove on Hush. He was coming out of Image when he's pretty maligned. And he worked his ass off on Hush.
It looked good. It was a good book.
Justice League Origin doesn't look as good as Hush.
No, and what was that? Batman, that crazy thing where Frank Miller had like...
All-Star?
Yeah, All-Star. That book was
I
like...
I thought the art looked great in that. I thought Frank Miller had lost his mind.
I thought he really fell apart in All-Star.
So what's your worst thing you ever read for you in comics?
Worst thing, I think it's that thing with Spider-Man eating a guy's face. Like, I think that really. The other?
I say the Clone Saga is worse than that.
I never read the Clone Saga, though.
The other is at least, the other is only like 9 issues.
That's true. And it gets wiped out pretty quick. That Clone Saga is this like lasting.
It was years.
It comes back to bite you.
Well, you can see that they started reprinting it, and it's like those books are the size of essentials.
They're like
$34.99,
and there's like 8 or 9 volumes to them right now.
It ran.
I don't even think it's done.
I remember they launched it. I was working in a comic store, and it looked like it was going to be a 3-month thing. When they launched it, they were like foil super issues, so you're like, all right, this will be all the Spider-Man books for like 3 months, and then they just kept changing direction and dragging it out, and that was another one of those moments like Superior Spider-Man where they turned around and went, Peter Parker's not Spider-Man, it's this new guy we just introduced.
Yeah,
and people were really mad, and the stories were awful.
Yeah,
and they did everything. They tried launching a new book, and they stole Dan Jurgens away from DC. And he was DC's superstar at that point because he was the architect behind the death of Superman. So, you know, the Clone Saga is starting to tank, so they pull him over. They're like, design a new costume. We'll give you a book called The Sensational Spider-Man.
That costume, though, the Ben Reilly Spider-Man costume is pretty awesome.
It does look good.
It's a good-looking costume. It deviated a little from the main costume, but not enough to bother you. And then I think the web shooters on the outside.
I always thought
cool
the
touch.
Big spider arms look like a harness. Like they look, he looked like he was wearing suspenders.
Yeah, like he had a thing on.
It worked really well for Spider-Girl.
Yeah, yes, I think it's a better girl. It's really a better well. Female costume yeah, than a male costume.
And you know what? I think you're always safe. DC always knows this. You're always safe with costume changes if you don't touch the face. Like every costume Batman's had, he's always had pretty
same
much
mask.
The same mask.
Yeah.
You know, Superman, it's always. You know, he always has a spit curl no matter what. Like if he changed his hair,
did he have a spit curl when he was electric?
Yeah, he had he had like a
Gambit mask. I think it came down to the same point.
Yeah, but then he also like even when he has a mullet,
he's
got
a spit
curl. But that was
one that nobody really liked. That one went because he was wearing like an X-Men mask and he was electric.
That's the thing. I think in like the 90s, they got in this really weird habit of like change everyone's costumes, break their backs, kill them, drive them crazy, turn them into villains.
Well, that's what they're doing now with the New 52.
And Marvel Now.
Well, it's like relaunching versus... Instead of like, all right, the hero's got to be broken down. Because think about it. You had in the 90s, you kill Superman, you break Batman's back. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man's not Spider-Man anymore. It's a different guy.
Hal Jordan goes crazy.
Like
They already killed off Barry Allen.
Yeah. Flash had been dead for like what?
The 80s crisis.
Was that the start of
10
it?
10 years.
Was that when it all started?
Well, there was a big relaunch after Crisis for DC because you have John Byrne doing a Man of Steel, which was pretty much a reboot. And then Frank Miller doing Batman Year One. George Perez was doing Wonder Woman. You know, Flash number one came out with Wally West. So that was a pretty hard... I think that was probably the biggest relaunch until New 52.
Yeah.
And they kept kind of... They kept teasing that. Uh-huh. Like, they kept... Every 5 years or so, they would tease it. Like, in the 90s was Zero Hour. And they gave every book a Zero book. And it was kind of a soft reboot. And then after Infinite Crisis was the 1 year later.
Yeah,
and that was supposed to be a really hard reboot, and everybody backed off of that very quickly.
And it wasn't. And the closest
and so
thing we got to...
52 became something very different than it was.
Ultimates was like the first really big, look, we're not kidding around. And then DC upped them by doing this New 52, where it was like, okay, we're not... Everything's just wiping the slate clean.
But DC's answer to the Ultimates was supposed to be the All-Star books.
It was.
Right.
That's when they were just like, all right, you got the Ultimates? Well, we have All-Star. Because
I was
like,
never a big fan of...
And they kept saying it wasn't. It's not that. And then when it tanked, when the only book that came out of that was All-Star Superman.
Right.
They were supposed to have Adam Hughes and Straczynski were going to do Wonder All-Star
Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Right.
And they were going to do... Jeff Johns was going to do Batgirl.
Yeah.
They were supposed to do a Batgirl one. I forgot who the artist was going to be on it.
And then I think that whole project got nuked because of Frank Miller. I think you can't drop the ball on Batman and expect that whole thing.
He kind of pooped the bed on the whole thing. Yeah, that might be the worst Batman book ever.
It's got to be.
It's not the craziest.
I'm saying
Batman Odyssey.
Yes! I was just going to say Neil Adams, another one who's lost his marbles.
Yeah, I wrote the review on that site. That's another one where they let him write.
Is Odyssey just crazy and then it gets good because it's crazy?
No.
Or is it just crazy where you're just
like, it
is like,
beyond my ability to describe.
I pay money for this?
It's crazy to the point where, you gave it to me to review, and I still haven't decided if I'm giving it back. It's that crazy. It's so like, crazy that like you don't think the pages are in order. Crazy.
Yeah, it's like it's like if Neil Adams tripped acid 30 years ago and then wrote and drew a Batman book and then lost half of it. And then somebody else found the and then mixed all the pages together, did more acid, added dialogue, blew his brains out, and then like finished drawing the page. I think that's what it
how,
looks like.
I think that's how my uncle
is that his writing method? Is that his writing method?
The fourth installation. He should get Neil Adams
to draw it.
It's beyond it's beyond belief how crazy this book is. It's like you can't even follow it from page to page because it's like you're like falling through a dream or something.
Yeah, and reading it as a graphic novel doesn't help at all.
No, you'd think it. I thought it would.
It was hard to read too, like because you know what? You know how we were saying with 3D that you can never get comfortable with 3D because there's a part of your brain that is always fighting to figure out if it's 2D or it's 3D.
Yeah.
So it gives a lot of people headaches. That's how it was like reading Batman Odyssey was my brain was trying to create a story where there was none.
Well, like
and I would have to like. When I would finish an issue, I'd have to put it down and just walk in the other room and look out the window.
Just see, like, you know, what
is
Earth
like? It was like sensory overload of crazy.
Well, it's like every issue starts with a naked Bruce Wayne sitting there narrating a story to you.
As but he should.
He usually ends up telling you a story inside of a story. And then, like, one time...
He gets coffee at one point, yeah. And he spends 2 pages talking about a Keurig coffee maker.
Which is...
Like he's literally...
I thought this book was set in the 70s.
No. It's, like, in his own universe. And then it's like he's eating like a banana all suggestively like in front of you really and he's weird. Not wearing clothes.
And at the end of the book you find, the spoilers, but at the end of the book because he's looking right at the reader all the time, at the end of the book you find out he's been talking to Superman the whole time and that makes it even weirder.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have a shirt for a while and then he puts on, like by issue 7, he puts on a shirt.
He puts on a Green Lantern t-shirt but he doesn't put on any pants. So it's like when your girlfriend sleeps over and wears your t-shirt the morning after, that's what it would be like.
What is he trying to say about the relationship between Superman and
that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. What is going on
with
those
two? Do
we
see what happened to Superman? Like, does he have kryptonite rope around him?
No,
like...
he gets up. He changes. No, he's as Clark Kent. So he changes from Clark Kent to Superman. And then Robin says something like, are you going to do the swoosh thing?
Are you going to call the police and get me out of here?
The last panel of 12 issues of Batman Odyssey, which took him like 2 years to draw, is Superman flying over the city. That's how he ends a Batman story. And by the way, Superman's not in it till 2 pages before.
Yeah.
Where they're like,
you only see him in costume for like 2 panels.
I think he's like dressed as Clark Kent in the Batcave.
So it's Clark Kent sitting in the Batcave listening to a naked Bruce Wayne tell a Batman story
that goes nowhere.
Yeah.
And there's like flashbacks within flashbacks within flashbacks because he's telling a story about it, like how he's chasing gunmen on a train and he goes, this reminds me of when I was fighting the Joker. And then he's fighting the Joker and then this like ape man in a Batman costume shows up and he says, I'm the Batman from underneath the earth. And then they go into the earth and they ride dinosaurs.
Yeah, they go to like Narnia and they team up with like a gorilla Batman, like he was saying, in a bat suit. They fight... Like,
it's a lot like listening to the Batman story of a 6-year-old who's making it up.
Yeah, this would be like Ben sitting down and like writing like...
He's like, and then they fly on dinosaurs, and then there's a Robin who has a dinosaur mouth and a tail, and he goes, ah. And then they fight these guys, and they're like, you're not Batman. He's like, I'm Batman, and this is the real Batman. And then Batman says, shut up. And then they run around, and then the Joker, and he's being Joker, but he drew that.
Yeah,
and you think All Star is worse than?
At least I can follow All Star narratively.
Well, the article's on the side if you want to get into more detail.
You gotta read it.
I read them side by side.
Yeah.
and try to figure out
which one's worse.
It's almost like on our earlier podcast when we did the audio commentaries of audio commentaries, which is still on iTunes. If you look for Play Call Audio Commentaries, we got into a debate watching Star Trek V. Of which was worse, Star Trek V or Star Trek Nemesis. And my theory...
Don't they fight the Borg in Nemesis?
No, First Contact, and that's a great movie.
That's a
Nemesis
good movie.
Is the one where Tom Hardy plays the clone of Picard.
Oh, okay.
It's, that's a good scene, though, with him and Picard sitting down. Yeah, you guys showed me? That's good.
Yeah, but that... Well, Dave Gonzalez showed us the scene of the screen test, which is way better than the actual film.
Oh, yeah.
But my point in that was that Star Trek Nemesis was... It looked like, when you watch the deleted scenes, it looked like it was a really good movie at one point, and it got all cut up.
Yeah, because doesn't somebody awesome direct that movie?
Stuart Baird, who edited Superman and like 6 of the Bond films.
Yeah.
Including, I think, Casino Royale. Like, he was such a popular editor that they made him a director, and he did like U.S. Marshals and some movies that were like, okay. And then, so they gave him Star Trek, and he just botched it. And he botched it in the editing room, which is so strange. So I always said that's a worse movie because it was good at one point, and it got ruined. And Bill says that Star Trek V is a worse movie because we never had any chance of being any good. Because Star Trek V started with William Shatner going, I'm going to direct, and the Enterprise goes to meet God.
Oh my God.
Before we get too far trashing odd number Star Trek movies, it's time for new perspective. So let's talk to Mike Lawrence. I first met Mike when he moved to New York to do stand-up comedy, and he's done it better than most. He just finished recording his Comedy Central half-hour special and his CD Satamantium, which he did at Meltdown Comics. He also hosts the Nerd of Mouth podcast, so he's an expert on comics and an aficionado of bad comics.
Galactus eating a hot dog at the end of Mark Waid's run in Fantastic Four.
Oh, when he's bald? I like that.
Yeah, it was all right.
He's bald and human, and we're Ringo Druid. I kind of have a soft spot for anything we're Ringo Drew.
I know, but
yeah, that
you don't want to see God in his underwear, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of like my co-host always brings up that last Grant Morrison story of New X-Men with Silvestri with, like, the beat-up Sentinel and the old Wolverine.
Yeah.
And he's like, this was 3 years of great stuff. What the hell is going on here?
Oh, yeah. He wanted to do his own Days of Future Past.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what he does. That's kind of what he's doing in Batman. He's kind of admitted that he killed off Damian just so he could do his own Death of Robin.
Yeah, I feel like he just fetishizes the past and then just remakes it. It's like Grant Morrison is like wanting a perfect woman, so then he makes a skin costume of like different beautiful women from the past. They're like, yeah, but I could kind of see the stitches and you don't like it. You know, even with Waid with Irredeemable at the end, mm-hmm. with the whole Siegel Schuster thing, or even like, I don't know how I feel about some of that stuff. Like the issue, I think 5:10 or 5:11, when they meet God and it's Kirby.
Yeah. So it's breaking the fourth wall, which pisses you off.
Sometimes it's like a dick sucking itself, you know? Like,
how about when Byrne drew himself into an issue of Fantastic Four?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of that stuff I'm okay with. Like when Stan and Jack used to do it in the old FF issues, and you would just see like their silhouettes, you know, like that kind of.
Yeah, when they try to get into the wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even like the first time with like issue 10, you know, it's like that. They're like where it's like kind of tongue in cheek is one thing.
Yeah, because that's the one where Stan calls Reed and he's like, we're out of ideas. What'd you do last week?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah. Stanley was even stealing ideas from his own character. That's how much of a plagiarist he was.
He was not above stealing from his own creations.
Yeah, which were not his own creations. I mean, I look at it this way. I think that, you know, you needed the promoter and the hype man. Mm-hmm. So that these uncharismatic, lumpy Jews had a platform to express their creativity. I think Stan Lee came up with some of the stuff. I think it's just in his nature to be a gloaty bastard.
Yeah.
And it's in those guys' nature to be, like, you know, quiet and reserved.
Yeah, introverted artist types.
Yeah, and I think that's where the clash really comes. Is that it's a tough thing of deciding, you know, because I think you needed both. I think you needed this old guy with a stogie in his mouth thinking of, you know, gods on surfboards, but you needed a guy who was able to sell that, you know, because on its own, it's not a very sellable, it makes no fucking sense.
No, and you can see that when Kirby does his own stuff with like the Fourth World or the 70s Caps. They're just, they're just nuts.
Yeah, and they're not very well written, you know? He just wasn't a great actual writer. His dialogue is stilted, and, you know, Stan's was breezier and snappier.
Yeah.
And I think those guys deserved more credit. I think the whole artwork issue is kind of shitty. I mean, they definitely got fucked over.
Oh, definitely. It was just bad freelance.
But, contracts. You know, but Stan Lee got fucked over, too, in the sense that, like, he doesn't own those characters either. You can kind of realize how great Stan Lee is when almost all of his titles were replaced by Roy Thomas.
Oh, God, yeah. We just talked about that, too. I kind of write off the entire 70s in Marvel because of, like, between Roy Thomas and then letting every writer edit themselves. 70s Marvel is incomprehensible.
Yeah, but there's some great shit in there, man. Gerber, I'm a Gerber baby. Gerber's fucking great. Starlin, come on. I mean,
yeah, I was a bigger Starlin fan in the 80s when he was on Batman and he killed Jason Todd.
Did you read The Cult?
That was one of my favorite books. I just finally got the original issues back and I sold off the trade. I still have a poster of it somewhere. That was a huge one because I missed Dark Knight Returns and then this came out in a premium format and I'm like, oh, this will be my Dark Knight Returns.
I think some of that cosmic stuff he did in the 70s is way ahead of its time. And I mean, they're obviously basing phase two of Marvel around it. So he must have done something right.
Yeah, they are trying to get more cosmic. I always thought that his cosmic stuff really got focused when he did Infinity Gauntlet. And then unfortunately, he just tried to do that over and over again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but like even like the death of Captain Marvel is really fantastic and profound.
Yeah.
You know, and those issues leading up to it, which were in the 70s, were awesome. I just read the Avengers Defenders War I think Engelhart himself calls it a conflict because he was in Vietnam. He's like, it's not a war.
He's having flashbacks while writing it.
Valkyrie, never forget. I feel like some of that stuff was actually really good. There's some great 70s Marvel, but a lot of it is crap. And I mean, even like Roy Thomas is, you know, he's a better Avengers writer than Lee, and he's probably one of the best I think it's the one book he really knew how to do well.
Yeah, well, he even said in interviews that he wanted off Fantastic Four so he could focus on Avengers. And at that point, Avengers did not sell nearly what Fantastic Four did. So he really loved that book.
Oh, yeah, and he put all of his heart into it, and all of his great ideas are in it. But it's still – that dialogue, everyone says, like, Mac, where you going, Mac? Hey – it'll always every time someone's mad, this will be like, you're starting to anger me, and Buster, you don't want to see me angry.
That's like when you watch Super Friends, the only insult the Legion of Doom could ever call them were super fools.
Yeah.
They would just say fools every other sentence because you could tell they were trying to clear scripts with the network and they're like, you can't call Superman stupid.
Yeah, well that's why they didn't have the Joker there. He wasn't writing them good material.
Yeah.
They come up with their own.
They had the Riddler. That was as good as they were going to get.
Yeah. Enough said.
Yeah. Here's something complicated and slightly clever. Thank you very much. Sit down.
Yeah, yeah. One Riddler and one Toy Man still doesn't equal one Joker.
But that comes out the same time as the Adam West Batman animated show with Batmite.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look at those were Filmation, where Hanna-Barbera was Super Friends, and those never have Scarecrow or Riddler in them.
Yeah. So
I think they may have had to split up the villains for that license.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, which is, you know, nobody wins.
Yeah, don't get me started on the bad embargo of the mid-2000s in Justice League. They weren't allowed to use most Batman characters.
Oh, because of the Batman.
Yep. Yeah. So that show hurts you on multiple levels.
Yeah, at least they did. Or is that Unlimited with the Joker and the Royal Flush Gang? Because that episode is great.
That was right before the embargo.
Okay, because that episode's brilliant. And
it
didn't bother me too much because at least it's Justice League. There's other areas you can explore. But with the Batman, they couldn't use Robin until Teen Titans was done, which is why he shows up in the later seasons.
There's just a lack of here's some of the things that Batman, the animated series, did right that most other cartoons never do. One, they grounded in some kind of reality. Even Justice League does this, even though that's more fantastical. But it's always about the characters and the emotions. And two, they got good voice actors. All of these other shows had the same 8 Canadians.
Yeah, like X-Men.
Yeah, and they all sound the same. Don't get me wrong, I love me some Kevin Michael Richardson. He was great in Homeboys and Outer Space. But he has two voices, and they're in everything.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I love Andrea Romano. I saw her the one year I went to San Diego. I saw her on like 3 panels. And you could tell she's just everyone's favorite aunt. Like,
yeah.
She just seems supportive and excited by people.
And it's awesome. And a lot of those guys, you you often don't even see doing a lot of other voiceovers, but they were so good on that show.
Yeah.
You know, Reno Romano, or whatever his name is Romero or whatever. He's like a fine, he's decent voice actor, but he's not Batman, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like, yeah, Kevin Conroy had years of cartoon experience.
No, he had nothing. He was a Broadway guy.
Yeah. But he fucking, you know, it's like you got the best person for the role. So now I'm reading Night Quest, which I can't tell if it belongs on this list or not. I kind of like Azbats.
Yeah.
You know?
We were just talking about that, too. That came up pretty quickly. Did you buy that big omnibus of it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I got it over the summer because the old ones just had Nightfall and Night's End.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, it's not totally bad, though.
No, there's some interesting points. Did you get to the part where he fights the Joker in Detective?
I'm about to. The whole movie gimmick?
Yeah, that's good. And I'm a huge fan of Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan's run on Detective.
Yeah, and Nolan's art is fantastic.
Yeah, he's doing like comic strips in Britain now. Like he's continuing to work, but you don't see him in comic. He was so rock solid, just month in, month out.
Yeah.
And Dixon at the time I thought could do no wrong because Robin and Nightwing are in the 90s a great read.
Yeah, they're fun. You know, it's like there's like a kind of fun to it that I don't mind.
Yeah.
Like I think a lot of what's good about it is their reactions to him.
Yeah, and it's very clear in the story, which wasn't quite as clear when it first came out, was that he's kind of supposed to be terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and like all the, if you read the letters pages, all these is like, Azrael's terrible. And it's like, yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, well, it was very much like before Superman, the Elite, the whole point was, right. You know, this is why we need Bruce.
Yeah, and
this is what's wrong with the 90s. It's a criticism.
Yeah, in the same way the Kingdom Come is, and in the same way, but it's much softer, the Death of Superman is.
Yeah.
Whereas like with the image heroes and kind of the imagication, which is not a word in any language. Of
yeah, it is. My ankles broke due to imagication.
Touché. But, you know, everybody's running around with guns and straps, and I think the point with DC in the 90s, which is why I like DC in the 90s, is they just kept scaling it back to character. And they're like, oh, you want an image-style Batman? Here he is. Now you hate him, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, you think Superman's old-fashioned? Okay, here's a little kid who's Superman. Here's a black guy who's Superman. Here's a robot who's Superman. Here's an X-Man as Superman. You don't like any of them? Good. We'll bring you the old one, and we'll give him long hair.
And this is what people get for trying to own their own creations. Yeah. Fuck them. We showed them. Wait, they're beating us? Well, we're cool too. I think some of that stuff, you know, some change is good, you know.
Yeah.
Wally is better than Barry.
Yeah, maybe I still don't get why they brought Barry back because I find the book way more boring now.
And these guys want to write what they grew up on.
Yeah, that's why Alex Ross is constantly painting the Super Friends.
Yeah, and that's why I love Wally, you know? I mean, there is a part of that. You know, why is Barry your favorite? He just is. It's the Applejack's defense.
Yeah.
But why? I don't get it, you know? Yeah, anyone ever says they love Barry, it makes me think of that Simpson episode where Grandpa Simpson is admiring Johnny Unitas' haircut. I just read a really dumb run that I started to like, but then ultimately hated, was Superman Grounded.
I haven't read that.
Where he just, it's Straczynski doing Superman.
Oh, okay. Is that around the, like, the 700 issue where he gives up
Okay. That's exactly.
He gives up his citizenship for the 30 days before the new 52.
Yep. But it's so funny because, like, the whole thing, like, this woman gives him shit. Like, you couldn't see my husband had cancer with your X-ray vision. It's, you know, it's the whole purple skin, black skin kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then he decides not to fly, so he walks around and he talks a woman off a ledge in a way less compelling way than Morrison did it in All-Star.
Yeah, well, All-Star I still think is Morrison's greatest work ever. And
I agree.
Straczynski I've liked on a couple of runs, and he always managed to outstay his welcome for me. Like,
yeah, Rising Stars fell apart, but that started off great.
Yeah, I love Amazing Spider-Man until the moment Romita Jr. leaves, and then the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, and the 9/11 issue.
You would with Doom crying.
Yep.
I gloss Doom over bot. That. Yeah, the Doom bot with tear ducts.
It's not even that Doom is crying. It's that they're all standing outside the wreckage in full costume, and no one's stopping them at all.
Well, everyone's busy. They're trying to find survivors. And the Kingpin, I can understand, because, you know, New York did not do well financially for a few years after 9/11.
Yeah, yeah. And Magneto, it's like, oh, there were a few mutant interns in Tower 7.
That can't fly.
Yeah. You know how, like 28 mutants are really hot, and then, like, all of the other ones are just drawn poorly?
Yes. Yeah, well, like, they all have the same body, too. Everyone on the X-Men team has the exact same body except Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
Kitty Pryde is the only girl in the Marvel Universe without D-cups.
Yeah, even, like, Beast, it's like, I'm a monster. Like, you're still hot for what you are.
You're saying you find the Beast attractive?
Yeah, I mean,
no, that...
I'd pull down his stars and garters if it went my way.
Yeah. Now, are you more attracted to the quietly cat Beast or the Perez burly
Perez
bear?
Man, classic. I just read the Korvac saga for the first time. It's awesome. Bendis's initial Avengers kind of turned me off.
Disassembled.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I went back a couple of years ago, got all the hardcovers, and read it through, and it didn't really change my mind.
Yeah.
But I'm a weird Avengers fan where I'm a huge Iron Man fan. And I like Cap a lot, and that's as far as I go. Like, I don't really care about Thor, and I don't really care about anybody else in the Avengers.
I do. I love Jarvis. He's one of my favorites. I love that whole idea.
Jarvis is just Alfred. He's just the Marvel Alfred.
He's better.
He's fatter.
Like I said,
fatter means better.
In the way that Chris Farley is better than David Spade. I mean, the X-Men, it's like, I mean, there's a run where a dude just did not know how to let go.
Oh, exactly. I think by the time, I think he's done by, like, I want to say Mutant Massacre is the last really great Claremont story.
Yeah, but it's not even just that. It's like, I think some of the stuff he did after Byrne was good, but none of it even comes close to what he did with Byrne. I remember, because I got Essential X-Men 2, and that's probably the best Marvel Essential there ever will be.
Yeah, I have all the masterworks of that stuff.
Yeah, because that has, like, Days of Future Past.
Yep.
I love the Proteus saga. I just read that again. That's fantastic.
I have a hard time reading that now because when the animated series did it.
It was so bad.
Yeah, well, they just had him going, where's my father? My father. And now I can't even read it.
He wasn't allowed to kill people, right?
Well, no one was allowed to kill people. Wolverine did nothing but cut doors.
And I love because, like, Magneto was a Holocaust survivor, but I wonder how people died in the Holocaust in that world.
They were turned into atoms.
Yeah, 6 million people destroyed.
Yeah, it was like G.I. Joe where everybody had a laser gun and every plane had a parachute.
Yeah. Like, I love it. In the X-Men, they put the Jews in the ovens and then parachutes pop out.
I'm sure they were very disappointed at that point. Ah, yeah. You think you got me, you Nazi. Why am I not going anywhere?
This is not what I imagined.
That's horrible.
This is how you say uncanny?
Now he's from Lebanon for some reason.
I don't have a lot of range. When it comes. But I think, like, because I read Essential 2 and I was like blown away. And then, and I know I'm going to piss somebody off, but because Cockrum came back and Cockrum's art is so much worse than Byrne.
Oh, I agree. I was really happy when Paul Smith replaced Cockrum.
I think those books got so much wordier. And more drawn out and almost too melodramatic because I think what made the Claremont Byrne relationship great was that the other guy would tell the other guy, fuck you.
Yeah, they hated each other.
But that made phenomenal fucking art.
Yeah.
You know, that made a great comic book. And then you had all of these journeymen who were just happy to be on a high selling book.
Yep.
Who probably didn't add a lot of input at all.
No, no. I mean, they switch editors a few times and you don't see the difference at all. Unlike the 90s where Bob Harris was basically doing everything.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, and all of that, like, so much of that 90s X-Men, like, because I read some of the, or I tried reading some of those newer essentials, they're almost unreadable. They really, like, those artists can draw great poses, but they did not understand storytelling.
No, everybody's jumping and shouting.
Yeah, or just standing around.
And shouting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the animated series is subdued compared to some of those books.
Yeah, where it was like people didn't know how to draw a closed mouth.
Yeah, and people didn't know how to draw guys out of costume. You could not tell who anybody was.
Yeah, it was great. There was a lot of spit. People forget that about the 90s. People were spitting all the time. They would have like that like saliva line from the top of the mouth to the bottom of the mouth.
They were very, very hydrated.
Yeah.
It was like no one was suffering in the desert. They were spitting the desert.
Yeah. It was ironic because Hydro Man was the only one who had a dry mouth back then.
I had his first appearance for a while. Because it's like
issue 212, I believe.
Yeah, it's like right before Roger Stern, which I said it on the show before, I'm praying they do a Roger Stern Romita Jr. omnibus. Because every issue of that stuff was gold. You know,
yeah, it's great, but did you read when he came back recently with he did a sequel to the Juggernaut?
No. I read his Hobgoblin Lives and it was trying to be Green Lantern Rebirth and tie everything into one and it wasn't quite successful. But I did not read his Juggernaut.
Yeah, he came back. It's like it's that thing too of like these things don't need sequels. Like, there's your big thing with The Dark Knight Strikes Again. You didn't need to tell more of the story. Like, the whole idea of, you know, these one-story wonders. Like, I mean, it took Gail Simone to make Bane good again.
Yeah.
And, you know, no one's done it with Doomsday.
No, I remember.
Because he really is just a doomsday plot device.
Yeah, he's a machine.
Carnage is a great example. Mm-hmm. You know, when your first like couples like I just reread Maximum Carnage for the first time because it was still cheaper than punching myself in the dick and then drinking the blood.
How much do you charge to punch yourself in the dick?
$7.95.
It's like a carnival ride.
But you when you read those issues, though, like, so they build these dudes up. And Carnage's actual first appearance, 361 to 363, is a pretty good story.
I like those. The Bagley Spider-Man.
Yeah, movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then that Maximum Carnage or, like, Doomsday were, like, when you initiate them as these big badasses that these guys can't beat alone – and then they come back and their next appearance is one issue long. You know, once Galactus, whose mission is to eat the Earth, doesn't eat the Earth, it's kind of hard to bring him back. Now he looks like such a pussy.
And this was a problem they didn't have in the Golden Age and Silver Age because they didn't expect people to read comics so long.
Yeah.
You know, because they thought when they brought Galactus back the second time, Stan and Jack figured that no one reading had read the first time.
Did he get brought back in their run, though?
Oh, yeah, in, like, 75, and he goes into, like, the Microverse.
Oh, wow.
It's, like, in the 70s or 80s, he comes back one more time during their run. And then I think Roy Thomas brings him back immediately.
Yeah. I remember that with the Overmind and all of that, and Airwalker.
Yeah, that's... That's the typical trap that a writer always falls into is like, hey, this character's so great, he's going to beat up all the established characters.
Which just devalues all of the stories that you've read so far.
Yeah, it devalues the original character.
Well, they also don't know what they're doing, you know? It's all these guys that take each other's jobs, and they have to prove themselves. Right. And yeah, but great shit came out of that.
Yeah.
And a lot of mediocre shit comes out of now.
Oh, you know what? I want to just state a really quick bad issue Paul Jenkins worked on.
Okay.
What was it?
I love his Spider-Man. So
his Spider-Man was
say.
Great, but it was that, what was that, Century After Siege, when Century, they do the funeral of
he
Century.
Created Century, too. He
I did. Know, but then they had that huge thing, and you see all these heroes show up, and Thor's, like, dancing with Century's mom. He's like, I'm sorry, I killed your son. Would you like to go for a waltz?
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah,
really?
That's what happened.
What the fuck?
It's, you know, like, what? That wins.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
I think that's
Rogue shows up, and Rogue's like, I don't know if anyone knew this, but I lost my virginity to Century because he was able to, like,
what?
Yeah. It was,
no
yeah.
way. Oh.
It was the follow-up after Siege.
That's
it was
up.
Like,
wow.
Yeah, after, like, when it goes.
Was it a one-shot?
It was a one-shot. It was just, like, it was supposed to close up on, like, Siege, and it was just showing, like, you know, what's Century's real name? What's his name?
Bob Reynolds.
And it's just like, oh, Bob Reynolds, let's have his funeral. And it was just like, I'm reading
it. It was kind of like Fallen Sun, but yeah. for Century.
They should either left Century alone, or when they did bring him back in New Avengers, Thor was dead at that time. Century should have been Thor with memory problems.
Yeah.
That would have made that thing so cool.
I remember when he came in, I was just like, this is a cool character. I mean, like, I really fell for the
guy.
Well,
he was the Marvel Superman.
Yeah.
And you know what? Paul Jenkins had this great gimmick to it, was that he was a Stan Lee character that he never got around to using.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the limited series was all like, he got like Romita to draw some. He got mm-hmm. like,
yeah. It was like good.
That was Marvel Knights, right?
The trade I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was a 6-issue limited series.
I think the only problem with it was, you know, it came out, the internet was like around. So it's like, it was so hard to try to fool people. Yeah. If that book came out 10 years earlier, 15 years
in
earlier,
the 90s,
it would have been crazy. People would have lost their minds.
People would have believed it.
They would have believed it because there wouldn't have been any way to disprove it without the internet. And I think, you know, the internet being around and message boards and all this other crap, people, you know, they figured out right away, like, ah, this is bullshit. This isn't a.
You know what I liked about Marvel Knights? When they're like, we don't know how to write Punisher. All right, make him hunt demons and give him like mystical powers.
Yeah, that's
and
make, terrible. And make, that's another bad run.
And make Bernie Wrightson draw that.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
Or 1600 Pen.
Is it good?
Oh, I liked it.
Wait,
I saw two
that?
Episodes.
It's, I didn't like the commercial, so I stayed away.
This is the sequel to Independence Day.
Wait, are you serious?
They follow up on the president and...
Wait, are you... Like, is this a...
It's NBC, right?
It's not. So many people probably turned off the computer. It was like 1600 Friends. Pretty much is what it is. Is it goes Bill Pullman. He's the president, and they gave him a family. He has a stepwife, Jenna Elfman.
Our tax dollars gave him a family.
Our tax dollars paid for all of this. If you're listening, Fox News. So they gave him that. They gave him. He has like, let me see, 4 kids. One of them is. Oh, I'm horrible at this, but they got the guy from the Book of Mormon. He's in it. They have the girl from Superbad, not Emma Stone, but the other one. And they have some 2 new kids that I never saw before. But basically, it's like it's a comedy about the first family. So it's just showing you how dysfunctional that family is. And also, like, the presidential family. And I saw 2 episodes of it, and I enjoyed
it. It wasn't a comedy. It was like a drama, though.
No, that was a comedy.
No, I'm thinking
West Wing is the one drama.
No, there's another one then where there's like a female president. They took it seriously. It's like, oh, the president, the vice president, like the next guy in line, all die, and then this woman's like, what? I'm like the fourth in line. This
oh, that's Battlestar Galactica. You're talking about?
Is it?
I'm serious.
Is it?
You're talking about Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, you're talking about
like,
this is how confused I am in my head all the time.
My pick this show is we're talking about Animaniacs on an earlier show, so we kept going, and I picked up Freakazoid. And nice. I'm watching the early Freakazoids, and they're fascinating because the story behind it is really incredible.
Cat walks across the keyboard and enters the secret code that
powers. That's not the good part. The good thing is that Steven Spielberg asked Bruce Timm to make a superhero show and make it funny. And then Bruce Timm and Paul Dini worked on it for like 3 months. And then Spielberg kept going funnier, 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 and eventually Bruce Timm quit. Spielberg didn't know what to do, so he called up the Animaniacs guys and he was like, here, take this. It comes on in September.
Oh, God.
And all they had was like Bruce Timm's character designs, and that's it. So they had 6 months to put on a show. So the show is crazy.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm definitely going to get season 2, which is the final season.
Only 2 seasons.
Yeah. And Steven?
Shockingly, it's whoever the Doctor Who's new sidekick. I'm having like... And she doesn't know this, but I'm having a love affair with that woman.
So
I don't know who it is.
So you're watching that 5 minutes of Captain America over and over and over again?
Yes. That woman is
oh, that's right. She
the
was
most
like...
beautiful creature on the planet.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Thank